Shalom! Holy Scriptures and Israel is a ministry designed to share with the Jewish people the good news of the Lord Jesus, Yeshua the Messiah, and to instruct Christians on the Jewish roots of their faith. And now, teaching God's Word from a Hebrew Messianic perspective, here is Gideon Levitan.
The study of the Gospel of Mark, chapter 9, and maybe, I'm not sure who, but maybe they were probably thinking of themselves, boy, we are the greatest three. And maybe when they came down and they joined the other nine, and the other nine says, what did you see? What have you seen? He said, it's not for you to know. We are the greatest one. We'll tell you later. Now, mind you, the Lord told them not to share this with them. But isn't it true, brothers and sisters, because God revealed to us certain things and we have been privileged in one thing or another, we always seem to think that we know better and we are superior than others. And we don't learn the lessons that the Lord wants to teach us to learn from Him. What an example He has been for us in our lives. He humbled Himself. He made Himself of no reputation. Though He was equal with God, Philippians chapter 2, He became a man, was born to the Virgin Miriam in the city of Bethlehem. He lived the perfect life. He humbled Himself, but He didn't stop there. He was going all the way to the shameful cross where He will die for the sin of this world. The sinless one. The pure one. The creator of the universe as man humbled Himself. You know, if there's anything that touches our hearts, is to realize how much He has done for us and the willingness to come down from heaven to humble Himself. What a lesson we learn here. And yet the disciples don't grasp it. They just don't. Like I don't grasp it. Because we often so much occupied with ourselves. And they couldn't say a word. They couldn't say a word because it says here they held their peace. They didn't say a word. Why? Because by the way, verse 34, they had disputed among themselves who should be the greatest. That shows us that even though they were believers in Yeshua, they still have the sin in them that we all still carry with us. You know, we are born again, but it doesn't mean that our old nature has disappeared. The flesh lusts against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh, and they are contrary to each other. The spiritual man want to live for God. The old nature, the old man want to live for self. The new man want to glorify God. The old nature said, I will be glorified. And we are learning as we walk here in this world how much we need the grace of God. And so now in the next verses, from verse 35 really to the end of the chapter, Yeshua the Messiah is teaching the important thing, the lesson of what is true honor. What is really true to be the one who is honored by God, the one who is the greatest? Do you want to be the greatest? He's really asking them, and he would ask you and I today. Do you really want to have an honor that you seek for that all the time? And there he tells them, let me tell you what is truly honor from God rather than honor for men. I was just recently watching on the television those that are the great singers, the great actors, those ones that we are all fascinated by, the movie stars. Oh yeah, they're going to get a lot of glory here in this world. People will shout and will exalt them and give them a place, and they will be so pumping themselves as if they are so much great here in this world. But listen, one day we all going to have to stand before God, and God going to evaluate the life of each one, the unbeliever, but also the believer's life. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of the Messiah, the Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:10. Believers! And every one of us going to get the reward exactly as we live. Whatever has been done for the flesh is going to have to be burnt with fire. But whatever was done for Yeshua, the Messiah, will last for time and for eternity. And so here he is teaching them what is really true honor. And so notice what he does. Chapter 9 of Mark, verse 35, he sat down. He sat down and he became the teacher. Now notice that he is in the house. In Shimon Petros and Andrew's house in Kfar Nachum, he became the head of the house. Wherever Yeshua go, he is in charge. He sit down. He called the 12 disciples unto him, and you notice what he tells them here in verse 35. He called them, the 12, and he said, if any man desire to be first, or to be honored, or to be the greatest, the same shall be last of all and servant of all. Do you really want to be the greatest from wherever you are, whoever you are, in your local assembly, your local congregation, or the family, wherever you are? If you really want to be the greatest, first of all, he said, the same must be the last of all, and also, he adding, the servant of all. Now, you know, again, bear with me. Isn't it true we all love to be served? And it's so wonderful to sit at the table and somebody serves you. You know, I've been so privileged for years to be hosted by homes of brothers and sisters who have hosted me as a servant of the Lord, coming to their home. They take care of me, they feed me, they allow me to stay at night. And I often think about it. There's one dear sister who said to me, Brother Gideon, you are the servant of the Lord and we want to serve you. And in my heart, I'm thinking, Lord, the true servant is that sister or that brother who hosts me, who allow me to be in their home, or take care of me, making sure that I can carry on in the ministry that the Lord has entrusted unto me. That's the true servant. It's very humbling when you really think, in God's sight, I'm not talking about what people think. I'm talking about what does God says about this. And as far as God is concerned, those who serve him are the ones that are really honored before him. Those that really take the energy and the time and the focus. They make it a purpose. I'm going to serve God and God's people. They are truly the ones that are the greatest in the midst of the people of God, as before God, not as before men, but as before God. And Yeshua teaching us a principle. It's really a principle. And because he heard what they say and he see what they do, no one can ever hide from the eyes of the one with whom we have to do. Because he sees everything. He's all-knowing. He's all-seeing. He's all-powerful. Omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresence. The Lord is with us right this moment, even though we don't think he is. Where two or three are gathered together unto my name, Yeshua said, there am I in the midst of them. And so look at this. He said to them in verse 35, if any man desire to be first, the same shall be last of all and shall be servant of all. That's the way God evaluates things. Yeshua is teaching the disciples. So now notice that immediately in the next verse, Yeshua teaches a visual lesson on what is true honor. He's very visual, Yeshua the Messiah. If you see, this is, by the way, the synagogue in the city of Kfar Nachum. It's called the White Synagogue, which was built upon the synagogue that Yeshua the Messiah was there when he went to the city of Kfar Nachum. Next to this synagogue is the homes of Peter and Andrew, is where Yeshua visited there. And wherever he have gone to these homes that were community homes. There was like homes that one close to each other next to the Beit HaKnesset. And they were going to the Beit HaKnesset, leaving the Beit HaKnesset. Immediately they are in their home. It was not too far in a distance, and here he is now teaching them a principle that we all need to learn, and only the Lord is able to impress this upon our heart. If any man desire to be first, the same shall be last of all and servant of all. So what does he do in verse 36 and verse 37 of Mark chapter 9? he presents before them a visual lesson of what is true honor in the sight of God. And so let me read verses 36 and 37. And he took a child, and he set him in the midst of them, and when he had taken him in his arms, notice he embraced him, he affectionately embraced him, he said unto them, and notice verse 37, whosoever shall receive one of such children in my name, receiveth me. And whosoever shall receive me, receiveth not me, but him that have sent me. Now imagine he take a little child. Now we do not know who his parents were, but he took a little boy, a little child, and when you think about a child, you think of a person who is helpless, who is always dependent upon his parents. He always need things to be provided for him. He needed to be taken care of. And he took this little one, he put him in his arm, he embraced him, he hugged him, and he says to everyone, whosoever receiveth such children, and he applied it to believers, all believers. But the example was, look at this little child. If you see this little child, is an example of all believers, whether they are young believers, old believers, brothers or sisters. Whoever receive this child in my name receiveth me, and whosoever shall receive me, he doesn't only receive me, but he received the one that sent me. In other words, he says, if you receive a believer in the Lord Yeshua the Messiah, doesn't matter what position he have in life, doesn't matter what spiritual state he or she are at, doesn't matter whether they understand like you or less than you, or even if they have a good position here in this world, but if you receive anyone such as this child, a believer in Yeshua the Messiah, you do not only receive me, but you receive God the Father who sent me to this world. In other words, what he's really saying, this is the lesson that we all to learn, because God desires his people to be a humble people, a people that are caring for one another, not seeking an exaltation for themselves, but humble before God and learning from our blessed Lord Yeshua the Messiah. And by the way, beloved brothers and sisters, this is not only applied to us today in the age in which we live in the church age, after the Messiah came. That was very similar to what God had expected from Israel, his people, in olden days. The Jewish people, the people of Israel, needed to be humbled before God and broken before him if they could serve one another and serve the nations around them. Think of Moses. The Bible said that Moshe was the meekest man on earth. That's why God could use him. Look at Isaiah, Yeshayahu. Yeshayahu says, woe is me, for I am a man with unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people with unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the Lord. Yeshayahu, Isaiah said in Isaiah chapter 6, God could use him. Look at even Abraham, our father, who was called by God, as chosen from all other men around the world. And God called Abraham and he said to him, Abraham, you leave your family, leave your people, leave your country and go into the land which I will tell you of. He didn't call Lot to come with him, but Lot came along. And with the time there was a friction between Abraham and Lot's herdmen, Abraham said to Lot, you take whatever you want. If you go that way, I'm going to go the other way. If you go the other way, you take everything. I don't want us to fight. I don't want us to fight. And you know what happened, beloved brothers and sisters? Lot chose the best part. But eventually he found himself in the city of Sodom, which was judged by God. While Abraham, God said to him, lift up your eyes. And he gave him the promised land, and he blessed Abraham, and he blessed the descendants of Abraham. The lessons apply to every generation. before Yeshua came and after Yeshua came. It applied to all God's people. The principle is very much the same. Whosoever shall receive one such children in my name receiveth me, and whosoever shall receive me, really, he doesn't receive me only, but he received the one that have sent me, namely God, the Abba, the Father, who sent the Son, the Mashiach, to come down to this world and to give himself a ransom for many. What an amazing principle we can learn here from this passage as Yeshua, the Messiah, he's teaching his disciples. Now notice how interesting, because as he was in the middle of teaching and instructing the disciples, it seems to be that there is a pause here, because John, this is Yohanan, the Apostle John, he kind of paused for a moment, and he, in verse 38, he really wanted to defend the disciples. I think it's very commendable when somebody wants to defend the disciples and to say, you know what, Lord, you know, we might have failure here and so on, but, you know, there are certain things that we have done that are positive, the disciples have done that are positive. We can learn from John, but the Lord teach another lesson. Notice that, and I'm reading now verse 38. Yohanan, that is John, verse 38, he answered him. Yeshua was teaching, Yeshua was instructing, and then John, you might say, almost interfering there, and he says, Master, Master, Rabbi, Rabbi, he says, we saw one casting out demons in your name, and he didn't follow us. So what did we do? We forbade him because he followed not us. Now this is tremendous. You see, John wanted to defend the disciples, and he all of a sudden kind of directed the attention to another believer somewhere there. And he said to Yeshua the Messiah, he said, Master, we saw one casting out demons. He was literally casting out demons, and he was doing it in your name. But you see, he said, he didn't follow us. So we stopped him. We told him, don't do so anymore, because you cannot do it unless you follow us. Now here it is, another amazing lesson that we can learn from that, beloved brothers and sisters. The Lord is teaching us the lesson that not everybody have to follow us, to follow you or to follow me. God has his people everywhere. And he has the privilege to use his people everywhere, wherever they are, providing that they honor him and live for him and doing things in a way that is pleasing to him. You know, again, I'm just pausing here for a moment. Why do you think, once again, there are so many divisions among the people of God? Many of the divisions that happened historically in the history of our people Israel and presently in the history of the body of Messiah, the church that is, the ecclesia, is because we don't like when somebody doesn't do things the way I do it. Now, I'm not talking about doctrinal error. I'm not talking about sinful lifestyle. I'm talking about that which someone doesn't do exactly the same that I do at the same time, or you might say different ministry that the Lord raised someone to do, and we sometimes shun others or stop them from doing the ministry that they are doing as unto the Lord because they are not following us. This is also a lesson that it is important. Now you notice that the Lord did not agree that this man should stop doing what he was doing because he didn't follow them. Because Yohanan said, he says, listen, we saw one man, he was casting out demons. And he was doing it in your name, Yeshua, in Yeshua's name. But he doesn't follow us. And therefore we forbid him because he doesn't follow us. Now what is interesting here is that if you read with me for a moment back in verses 17 and 18 and 19 of the same chapter, that this man could remove demons from one who possessed, but the disciples themselves could not do so. Look at this, verse 17, 18. He says, one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which has a dumb spirit, and therefore he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth and gnashing with his teeth, and he become rigid. But he said, I spake to your disciples, and that they should cast him out, but they could not. Now it is so interesting. The disciples who followed Yeshua couldn't even do so, while the man who didn't follow us was able to cast out demons in the power of Yeshua. And John says in that verse 38, he doesn't follow us, but he cast out demons in your name. And because he doesn't follow us, we forbid him and stop him from doing so. Now that is amazing, isn't it? You know, other people live for God and serve God and minister the word of God and being used by God, and we're not happy with it. And we often, at times, are not living for God and are not right before God, and yet we don't like what they do because they don't follow us. Now, what does that teach us? That one can be so proud, so self-centered, that assuming that I'm the only one who is doing right and everybody else is wrong. We have to be so careful. That leads to legalism, sectarianism, pride, and arrogance, which have no value before the Lord. That is not humility. That is not humbleness as before the Lord. That's why Yeshua is teaching the importance of what is true honor, what is true first place, as it is indeed before the Lord. And so when John, and he meant well, I'm confident, he, by the way, just came down from the mountain, Mount Hermon, Mount of Transfiguration. He has seen the glorified Messiah. He has seen Moshe and Eliyahu in a wonderful scene there. He was a privileged brother in that time. And you might say, everyone should be exactly like him, or everyone should follow exactly like him. And the Lord teaching John, Yohanan, and all the disciples, and you and I, the lesson that we will need to leave things to the hands of the Lord and trust that whatever others are doing, they're doing it as unto the Lord, to pray for them, to seek to bless them, and hopefully trust that they're really serving the Lord. And make sure that I live for the Lord, that I serve the Lord, that I'm humble before the Lord. And that's why Yeshua said to him in the next verse, notice it's verse 39 on now, 39, 40, and 41, Yeshua said to them, don't forbid him. Don't forbid him. Look at this. I'm reading the next verses, 39. But Yeshua said, forbid him not. For there is no man which shall do a miracle in my name that can lightly speak evil of me. In other words, he says, listen, if he's doing some miracles in my name, he will not really speak lightly against me if he speaks and he does what he does in my name, providing he does it as unto the Lord and in Yeshua's name, in Jesus' name. And then notice what he says in verse 40. For he that is not against us is on our side. He that is not against us is actually on our side. Now if you put your finger here and go to Matthew chapter 12 and verse 30, you see the reverse of the very same thought. Matthew 12 and verse 30, he that is not with me is against me. And he that gathereth not with me, he is scattering abroad. You notice it is interesting that in these two verses, we come to a conclusion that you cannot be undecided person. You are either with the Lord or you are against the Lord. As he said, and if you are not against the Lord, you are really on our side, Yeshua said in Mark 9 and verse 40. So there is no middle ground. And you remember many times I mentioned it in the ministry that the four Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all these four Gospels present before us four truths that we must learn. Matthew says you're either wise or you are foolish. It was the wise men who came from the east and says, where is he that was born Melech HaYehudim, the king of the Jews? You're either wise or you're foolish. Mark says, you're either in or you're out. You cannot be on the fence. Later on in Mark chapter 12, he will say to that man, you are not far from the kingdom. You are not in, but you are not far, but you still need to get in. You're either in or you're out. You cannot be on the fence. On the other hand, Luke, the Gospel of Luke says, you are either saved or you're lost. You cannot be half saved or half lost and one day saved and another day lost. No, you are either saved or you are lost. In the Gospel of John, Yohanan is the fourth Gospel. John says, you are either a believer or you are an unbeliever. Whosoever believeth on him shall not perish but have everlasting life. John 3:16. You cannot be half believer, three-quarter believer. You are either a believer or you are an unbeliever. You know that this is important. And those verses, Mark 9:40 and Matthew 12:30, teaches us this principle. He that is not with me is against me. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 30. He that doesn't gather with me, he is really scattering abroad. Mark chapter 9 and verse 40 teaches, he that is not against me or against us, he is actually on our side. So Yeshua said to Yohanan, no. He says, really, don't forbid him. If he does what he does in my name, this is fine. And you make sure, John, Yohanan, and all you disciples, make sure that you, first of all, are able to be in a right relationship with me, that you can cast out demons like he does so, because you couldn't earlier.
You have been listening to the Holy Scriptures and Israel with Gideon Levitan. Gideon teaches God's Word from a Hebrew messianic perspective. For more information about this ministry, write to Holy Scriptures and Israel, Box 1411, Niagara-on-the-Lake, Ontario, L0S1J0, or visit our website at holyscripturesandisrael.com. You are also invited to Gideon's weekly Bible teaching on Fridays at 11 a.m. and 7 p.m., and Saturdays at 1 p.m., at Willowdale Christian Assembly Hall, 28 Martin Ross Avenue in Toronto. Holy Scriptures and Israel is made possible by your prayers and financial support. If you would like to support the program, visit holyscripturesandisrael.com. God bless you. Shalom, shalom.